97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Everybody, happy Thursday night, Cuz's Corner. To all across the Delaware Valley, hanging at the Parks Race and Sportsbook, South Philadelphia, our haunt every Thursday night, and we're powered by the Bet Parks app. Boy, do you love the Bet Parks app, man! You getting ready for the Super Bowl or the big game? I mean, you got to get to know the Bet Parks app. It's got you covered for all the goodies, right? All the props, everything else. So we'll go through a lot of stuff tonight surrounding the big game with our man, the big brain on Brad. So the big game and the big brain come together, and we'll discuss this whole Super Bowl and where it is. By the way, make sure you download the Bet Parks app. It's got you covered for everything. New customers get up to $750 in sportsbook credit. First bet's not a winner. Got to be in PA or New Jersey. Got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now joining us, he is the betting analyst for Parks Race and Sportsbook and an all-around great guy. The one, the only, Brad Feinberg. Big brain on Brad. Bradley!
Good evening, man. This is exciting time. Again, like the games, it's interesting. I'm looking forward to discussing with you the Eagles game. I definitely have some thoughts on it that I'm curious if you agree with or don't agree with. But, again, it's going to be a super exciting time here to be a Philadelphia fan.
It is a great time to be a Philadelphia sports fan, as you know. And incredible. I mean, look, it's all about you see the town just so excited, you know?
It should be. Well, listen, again, it's hard. Look, this is hard. You know, it's not, look, it's not easy. Unless you've had a guy like a Tom Brady or a Mahomes, it's not easy to get to this game.
Yeah.
It just isn't. Unless you have a quarterback that is that great like Mahomes and Brady have been, it's just a really, really, it's an amazing accomplishment. And again, I know, man, Anthony, me and you have talked about it a bunch. We talked about the job that the Eagles front office has done in putting together this team. And I think, again, I don't think it could be understated enough what they've done in terms of building this team and making it, you know, kind of like every piece of the team seems strong, which is almost impossible to do, right? Like you look at it, you're like almost every position is just really, really good.
You're right on. I mean, you know, when you think about how he's done, and
he deserves so much credit. He really deserves, and it's funny, a lot of fans, and again, a lot of fans really got on him after the, you know, the team didn't have that much success right after the first, you know, the Super Bowl win. But again, look what he's done. When Anthony, let's be fair about it. Carson Wentz was here. You know, people thought he was still going to be the future, me included. Okay. I'm first to admit it. And then he drafts Jalen Hurts, has the guts to just cut bait with the number two overall pick in Wentz, which is not an easy thing to do. And, you know, has the guts to trade a top pick for AJ Brown. I mean, he's done everything he's done. It's just very impressive. I just really give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, you know, look at the depth chart. I mean, let's go through the roster for a second, because I think it's kind of fun to do that. So your receivers, obviously, AJ and Devontae, right? So
yep.
You got A-list receivers. You got Quez. You got Zach Pascal, who's a block, who's their blocking wideout. Sure. Then you got Mailata, Dickerson, Kelce, Seumalo, and Lane. All right. I mean, the best offensive line, not just in the NFL today, but the best offensive line in probably the top five in the history of the game, I think.
Yeah, you're not. And it's interesting. I heard Mike Lombardi mention this on one of his shows, and I agree with him. And he goes, a lot of times teams and sports are hesitant to go strength on strength. And what he was saying was the Eagles had the best offensive line in football, but they added to it by drafting guys like Dickerson, and they had a great defensive line, and then they signed Sue, you know, and
Linville Joseph.
In Linville Joseph, you know, when they were both free agents, and then they draft Jordan Davis, you know, strength on strength, even, you know, sub 30, a good attribute, making it a great attribute. You know, we saw the Colts do that with their passing game, you know, with the years with Peyton Manning saying, you know what, we have the best quarterback, let's give him the best surroundings. And they had tremendous success year after year. You know, I just think it's what they've done has just been incredible. And I look, they do have, you're right, their offensive line, you're right. It's right up there as the best I can maybe since Anthony. Remember the days when the Cowboys had Larry Allen and Eric Williams, Mark Tuinay. Those were maybe the one I would compare it to. But
no, I agree. Listen, you had the Hobbs there. Back in the day. You know, and you had the Georgia Dallas Kobe. O-line, yeah. Right? You had Larry Webster and the Steelers offensive line. You know, I mean, you got, but this Eagle offensive line, when it comes to modern day. I mean, this thing is no joke.
It's funny because you made a very good point what you just said there, Anthony, with modern day. And I think that's very important for everyone listening is back 10, 20 years ago, 20 years ago, it was a lot easier to keep your team together. If you drafted great players, you were going to keep them forever. But in today's modern day with the salary cap, it's really hard to keep. Once you become great, it's extremely hard to keep all your great players. And if you think about it, what great player has Philadelphia really lost? I mean, they've done a good job of keeping their good players and adding to this roster. And again, I'm sure, look, it's been an interesting free agency. I'm sure it'll be a whole new, another show, Anthony, but I'm sure they're going to probably let Miles Sanders go. Gainwell has been incredibly productive and, you know, I'm assuming.
Well, you'll draft a back. I mean, you'll draft a back.
Exactly.
You're going to pay Jalen. So you got to look at where you're going to look him. At safe salary, right?
Exactly.
So when you're looking at it, you know, you got a great offensive line, you know, so you're set there. So that's a good thing, right? Because you got Juergens, you know, when Kelsey does call it quits, you got Juergens there. You got Driscoll, you got Dillard. So you're really deep. Now, your D-line, at some point, you got to figure that next year, one of the big high-priced guys won't be there, right? Because you're going to have, you have Jordan Davis, you got, you know, I would keep Sue. I think Sue. I was talking to my cousin tonight.
He still can play. He's a professional.
I agree. My cousin Joey said it. We were just talking about this. Sue gives you, you know, really, he gives you something that's impressive, like a meanness. He gives you a toughness. Like the middle of that line is just, you know, it's Sue. I love him, man. I think you got to keep him around.
He's never missed a game in his career, too, I believe, Anthony, which is, again, that just shows, like, a lot. And let me ask you a question, Anthony. Question for you. Besides maybe, I'm just throwing this on the top of my head, Moses Malone, I think that was actually a trade on this free agency, but Bryce Harper, has there been a better free agent than Hassan Reddick?
I know, dude. I mean, seriously.
I mean, he's been like, I don't think this is an exaggeration, top five defensive lineman.
I know.
He's unbelievable. His speed is just, you know, you watch him. He looks like he's our Micah Parsons. I'm not saying he's quite as good as that, but I don't think he's that far off. And, I've just been incredibly impressed. Again, you know, a credit again to this franchise for signing the right guys. For signing the right guys, because I think he's been, name me a better free agent the Philadelphia Eagles have ever had than him. I don't know if I can come up with one.
No, dude, it's uncanny. I mean, seriously, it's uncanny. You're spot on. I mean, you know, I mean, look how deep, like, their line is ridiculous. Like, that five-man front is just sick, right?
Yeah,
Graham, right? BG, who's been awesome, and Cox, Hargrave, Sweat, Hassan, right? You know, Sue and Milton Williams, and they're just so deep.
The depth it's funny. You could actually take, and this, I'm not trying to sound like an idiot here, but I actually believe it. You could probably take, with the exception, even exception of quarterback, but you could probably take 9, 10, 11 starters off this team, and this team would still be a playoff team.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean that.
Like, I actually think you could take 10 starters off this team, they could still make the playoffs. No, they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl, But I think this team is that good and that talented. I'd say the thing that the area, in my opinion, I think they're maybe, I don't want to say weakest at, because that's not fair, but the least depth at, I would probably say would be wide receiver, because I do think if they were to lose A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith, I do think that would be a significant downgrade going to like the Pascals and the Quezes, I believe. But, you know, it's hard to be incredibly stacked in every position, but they've really done about as good of a job in today's world that you can do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. All right, so let's discuss, all right?
Yep.
Let's figure this out, you know, like what, you know, this game is going to be. Like at first blush, see, I think it's it's going to be a great football game, right? I think the Eagles are a favorite for a reason. You know, I would give them a slight edge. I don't know. What did you make the game with your numbers?
Well, it's interesting. I think the line briefly opened Kansas City by 2.5, which I thought was just an asinine line, and it went up to Philadelphia -2.5. My personal line, I had this right between 1.5 and 2 for Philadelphia. Look, before the game, the weekend started, Anthony, okay, the AFC NFC was pick 'em, okay? So when it opened Kansas City by 2.5, I'm thinking to myself, you watch that Chiefs game. Now, again, I give Spagnuolo credit. He had a great, you know, and we talked about it. I really thought Cincinnati, who I loved, and I love Joe Burrow, literally like my favorite player, but I'm like going against Buffalo's joke of a defense versus going against a stud in Chris Jones is a totally different situation, and their offensive line's going to get exposed in that particular game. And Burrow, I think, got sacked, but 6 times, whatever it was. But you know, Anthony, like to me, Kansas City, offensively, they lost 3 wide receivers. They were hemorrhaging. I mean, if they didn't get that late hit call on Mahomes, I don't think they were going to score a point. I really thought Cincinnati, that was Cincinnati's game to win. I give Kansas City a ton of credit. They're able to win a game where they lose 3 wide receivers. Mahomes is banged up. They're just doing it by pure guile and grit and just guts. And again, I thought Spagnuolo did a great job calling the game defensively. They really pressured Burrow and did a tremendous job. But I certainly didn't think they deserved a 2.5-point bump when the game opened at Pick'em from the week before. I think Philadelphia has been the best team all year, Anthony. I believe that. And I think health is a part of this. You know, I don't know. I think I read today Hardman's definitely not going to play in the Super Bowl. I haven't heard anything updated on Juju yet or on Kadarius Toney. Yeah. You know, Hardman's out. So, yep. Again, this is a team that, and again, I got to ask you a question. And I said this, Seth Turner has me on the show each week, and I asked him this question. I'll ask you it because you know the game so well. I'll watch a game. Okay, Kansas City is a perfect example, and last year the Rams were even a better example with Cooper Kupp, where they throw to the same guy, it seems like 20 times in a row. I don't know why a team can't just say, I don't care who beats us, it's not going to be Travis Kelce. It's like, maybe it's just not as simple as again, I'm not a coach and I try to stay in my lane, but I watched Kansas City, and I'm like, outside of Kelce, they have, you know, they're trash. You know, I'm just calling it how it is. You know, I like the running back Pacheco, but their receivers are just, you know, they lost all of them, and they're still just throwing a Kelce, and then they're not stopping it. It just amazes me when I see stuff like that. But I think Philadelphia, Anthony, is the best team, and I think they have more health here. The thing that I want to ask you is, Anthony, and again, I know you have more insight to me than this, the one thing about the Eagles that scares me, okay, and it does scare me, is I believe, in my opinion, I watch every game just the way you do, I feel like Jalen Hurts, since he came back from his injury, when he'd be pre-injury, I thought he was a top 3 player in the NFL. You can argue he's played number 1, okay, right there with Mahomes. He's having that kind of a good year. But I feel like since he's come back, the 2 games against the Giants and the game against San Francisco, he just, I think he's been, I would use the word mediocre. I don't know if you agree. Maybe you think I'm being too harsh. I'm wondering if he's still really injured. But you would know, have a much better handle on that than I would.
No, I actually agree with you. I think you're right. You know, and I think the injury is real.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think he spoke today, right?
Months, probably not weeks, right?
Yeah, like he spoke today and he talked to, it was asked, like, how's his shoulder?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
I mean, there's no doubt that he's banged up. But I agree with you. I think, you know, lost in the game last week, you know, they didn't need him. he wasn't that good. He missed a couple.
Wasn't that good. And it's funny. I heard Greg also go, Jalen Hurts played a great game. Look, and I love Jalen.
He didn't play a great game.
And I think there's a reason for that.
I do. Like, notice a couple things that I noticed off that game, too. Remember, there were opportunities. Everybody could see he missed, you know, A.J. Brown, whatever.
Yeah.
But he had a couple of lanes that he could have taken.
Couldn't agree more.
That he didn't take. Now, yeah, that tells me, you know, he's feeling it. So what did they do? He, instead of making that read, he made the other read, which was hand the ball to the back to go run on the backside, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So all those backside runs, normally it's him with a keeper.
Correct. Yeah.
That tells me he's still banged up.
Yeah, that tells. Listen, we see it the exact same way. And again, as the stakes. And listen, I'm going to talk about that game last week, Anthony. Again, I've been away in Florida, so I wasn't able to hear your take. And this may be an unpopular take, but again, just like you, I just say how I feel. I thought the game last week was a complete throwaway, and what I mean by that is, look, while I give them a lot of credit, Anthony, let me ask you a question. If I play you in tennis, and you don't have a tennis racket, I'm probably going to beat you. But when you literally don't, I mean, I was like almost amazed that people don't have the, you know, the wherewithal to understand what a handicap San Francisco was playing with. Like, yeah. It's actually, I'll go as far to say, it's only one time in my life I can remember a situation that was similar. Do you remember the Denver Broncos tried to play Kendall Hinton at quarterback against the Saints and they got shut out? I don't know if you remember. It was like 2 years ago, and they couldn't score a point.
I think it was like a Monday night, or it was a night game.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything, and they didn't even get a, you know, and the Saints beat them like 34-0. You can't, I mean, when you don't have a quarterback that can pass the ball, it's, again, that's why I call it a throwaway game. And now, San Francisco also, their lack of discipline and the penalties they committed, I was stunned how just undisciplined they were.
I know. I saw them do. You remember when Kansas City wrecked them? 44-23.
They killed them.
And they got chippy in that game. I watched that game. Knowing the Kansas City guys, I watch all their games. And they got chippy like that, too. And they got spanked.
Yeah,
and, you know, like seriously, like that hit, that late hit on Jalen was ridiculous.
Oh,
he's two steps out of bounds. I mean, Kawhi's up. And then punching the football out. I mean, that was a joke. Like he was rocking it inside of meat.
Yeah, they play like they're front runners. When things don't go their way, they act like they're babies. Listen, and again, for as much credit as Shanahan has gotten, I can't believe he didn't get more ripped for the lack of just utter discipline issues. But to me, again, he screwed up big time, dude.
Like you and I always talk about this. He screwed up big time. How do you not challenge that play?
It was, again, these guys get paid $8 million a year. You know, me and you are not being paid $8 million a year. These are things that aren't that hard, right? It's not that hard. And, you know, when I see these things, it's frustrating because I'm always thinking things from a math point of view and just doing things the quote-unquote
right. Right, that's a fourth down. Like, there's the probability and how big it is for them to stop you from...
You could even call a timeout, but I'm going to give you something right now. Here's something that every coach should do. And, again, these are things that eventually the rule would change, but I can tell you the rule hasn't changed now. Here's what I would do.
I'm going to tell you right off. Can I tell you what you're about to say?
Yeah.
Call timeout, and then you'll have enough time to see if it's worth a challenge.
Well, first of all, I was going to say there was two things. That was one of the things I was going to say. Yes, if you call a timeout, it doesn't cost you a challenge. It's still in the first half, not the end of the world. The other thing I was going to say was this. When there's a play, a big play like that, and you see the other team running down the field, I would tell one of my defensive linemen, you stay down. You twisted your ankle.
Yeah.
You twisted your ankle. And they're going to stop.
They do it all the time. Yes.
They're going to stop, but they didn't do that. And that's me. You fall down. You know, whatever it is, what it is, it's gamemanship. Now maybe they'll have a thing where if going forward when it happens too much, maybe you have to miss, you know, 10 snaps. I don't know, whatever it is. But right now today, these are things, if I was coaching, I would use every rule in my advantage. And this is something I see coaches do all the time. Again, I'll give you another example. You see a team, Anthony, there's like 9 seconds left in the half, okay? The team has the ball, first and goal at the 10-yard line. Maybe there's 9 seconds left. They have time for one play. I would literally hold every single player at the line of scrimmage, mug them. Don't even let them 5 seconds go off and then make a field goal. And, and teams use every rule in your disposal. Shanahan didn't do that last week. And that began to me, the game was a complete throwaway. Eagles defense played great. But as I said, the tennis racket example, Anthony, and Jalen Hurts, Eagles really, they ran the ball a lot better than I was expecting. I'll give them credit for that. But Hurts, to me, did not look anything close to what I considered to be this year a top three player. He was nowhere near that. And it kind of got lost in the shuffle because of how the way it was such a weird game. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think Jalen, I think they're going to have to let it all out. I mean, obviously, Super Bowl, right? So you hope after 2 weeks, you know, he feels a little better, that shoulder. But you're going to have to let it all hang out, and he's going to have, you're going to have to make him run the ball. Because, like, to me, if you're the Eagles, like,
that's
all I want to do. I want to keep Mahomes on the sidelines, all right? I want to control the football. I want to, because that also frustrates Mahomes. When you, if you can control the ball for the first, you know, 7.5, 8 minutes of the quarter, like, that just frustrates. I remember when Spags, who beat, when with the Giants, and they beat the Patriots with Randy Moss. New England didn't get its first possession until, like, the end of the first quarter.
I remember that.
Like, they bled the whole quarter out.
Yeah, they bled the whole quarter out. Yeah, before you know it. Yeah, and it is frustrating.
And that's what the Birds got to do.
Yeah, and I think, look, again, Kansas City, I give them credit, Anthony. They really, it's so much, and Mahomes has gotten so much credit. But that game, to me, I really give their defense a lot of credit. I thought their defense played a really good game. I really did. They sacked again. They sacked Burrow at pun. And a Kansas City team that usually is so reliant on Mahomes, that needs Mahomes to do everything for them, they weren't able to do anything offensively at all. And I thought their defense got a couple huge stops, especially at the end of that game. It's a tie game, 2 minutes to go. Joe Burrow has the ball. Who didn't think Cincinnati was going to win that game at that point? Right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I liked the Chiefs. I like their defense better. I mean, for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah.
But I thought because of the Bengals' banged up line that they would win. I mean, I told you and I
they dominated.
You
yeah,
know,
they dominated.
I thought the Kansas City front. I mean, Chris Jones was incredible. And yeah, listen, that's all well and good. The Bengals are out 4/5 of their line. The Eagles line is the best
correct
in the NFL. So I think that's a huge advantage.
Yeah, you, Andy, you're the king of matchups, right? You always talk about matchups and why you like certain matchups for certain teams and why you dislike. When I look at this, well, first of all, I think Philadelphia, by the way, is the most matchup-proof team in all of pro football. Because they have no weaknesses. They don't have a weakness.
Yeah,
they
do
the best defense line of football and the best offense line of football.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, when you have that, they're immune to a bad matchup. Now, I will say this. Someone like Mahomes, we've seen it in the past, Anthony, more so 2 years ago, not this year, but last year. Remember, Anthony, when Philadelphia played against those great passers like Herbert and Mahomes?
Yep.
They were getting absolutely torched. Now, this year in their schedule, they really didn't have to face that kind of gamut, right? But if there was the fact that Mahomes is not quite 100% mobility-wise, if there was ever a game I would want mobility, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, it's this game against Philadelphia. Because they're going to put pressure on him. And I think the Chiefs' offensive line, Anthony, well, I don't know about you. I think it's considered, like, I've read things where they're rated top five.
Nah,
I don't think that at all.
I agree with you.
I think they're like, I think they're best average.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Brown's probably going to get paid a lot of money or whatnot, but I think they're very, very beatable, and I think Philadelphia, you know, we saw Cincinnati put a lot of pressure on Mahomes. I think Philadelphia's do the exact same thing. I just think Philadelphia has so many more weapons than Kansas City does right now, and if we don't see a 100% healthy Patrick Mahomes, I actually don't even know if it's going to be that good of a game.
Hmm. So let's look at the quarterbacks that they faced, all right, that the Eagles have faced. So you got week one, Goff. Goff put up 35. Then we know that they were pretty real. I mean, they were
Goff
pretty
at home. That's actually, you're going to laugh at this, Anthony. They were fourth in league in points, and at home, I think they were first. So that actually, while the layman may think that's like a nothing game, not only is it not a nothing game, it's probably outside of Mahomes, you could argue the next hardest game you could have. That's Coors Field.
Excellent. Then they're Minnesota, and it's Cousins, and they only give up 7. Cousins and Jefferson. Then it's Wentz and Washington. They only give up 8. Then Jacksonville, Lawrence, they give up 21. Murray, they give up only 17. First time, no Dak, they beat the Cowboys. Second time, it's Pickett, that's nothing. Texans, nothing. Commanders, that was Heineke.
That was their first loss.
Yeah, that was 32. But they had a bogus touchdown at the end.
Absolutely.
So really 25. Ryan and the Colts. Rodgers, they give up 33. Titans, only 10 with Tannehill, but they lost Treylon Burks early in the game. Jones, 22, was a rout. 22, the Bears, but that was a different kind of game. 40 to the Cowboys with Dak, but we all kind of know that was a different kind of game. So, and then you got Daniel Jones and Purdy. So it is, you know, it does, you know, worth to note that, you know, Mahomes is the best quarterback they're going to see. And some of the other quarterbacks, they have had success against the defense.
Yeah, I would say the Dallas game with Dak would probably be the one I would say the most, you know, lack of a better word, scary. You say you wish you saw a better game, would have probably been that game. Allow 40 to, now again, Dallas has weapons. I'm certainly not saying they don't. But, you know, look, they had that, what, the Tyree, Hilton, T.Y. Hilton caught that, what, third and 30 play,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some things that happened in that game.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, I completely agree.
You would have liked to have seen, but again, listen, here's the thing, Anthony, and look, we all, every single one of us, you know, me included, you sometimes forget, you think that just because you're the better team, that you're going to win every game or every snap. That's just
right. I mean, that's why there's an ebb and flow to the league.
There's an ebb and flow, and it's hard to be at your best all 17 weeks. It just is. Even though you may think it shouldn't be, but it's just that's the way the sport is, where every team would go 17-0. There wouldn't be upsets, right? So that's what you have to tell yourself. But again, this will probably be, you know, their most difficult challenge. I just don't know if he will be 100% healthy, and I don't know if that team, Anthony, I will tell you this. To me, as good as Coach Reed has been, and as good as their front office has been with Veach and those guys, and having a great coaching staff, I think letting Tyreek Hill go, this is the game. This moment, this spot is where they will feel it, and they will not get away with it. Because to me, that was the worst decision they've made in the Mahomes era, was letting Tyreek Hill go. I know you said there were some other things going on there potentially. But
No. The money piece of it. It was like the way that they got, like they thought they had a deal, and then Miami kind of swoops in. It was a weird, the agent. There were some issues there, but I agree with you. I think
you can't overpay great players, Anthony.
Yeah, I agree.
Can't overplay Tyreek,
especially
Hill,
a weapon like him. I you're right. I agree with you.
Those are the players,
and that's a huge deal.
Everyone,
like,
yeah.
Devontae and AJ Brown. Like, that's a big deal. That was a huge mistake by Tennessee. Hey, listen, we got to take a quick TO.
Yeah.
Let's do that, and then we'll come back, and we'll give out some picks. I know we got next week, too, but we'll give out some picks. It's Cuz Radio, Cuz's Corner, live from the Parks Race and Sportsbook. My man, the big brain on Brad, as we hang out two Thursdays from a Super Bowl. How great is that? 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. It's Cousins Corner, powered by the Bet Parks app. Make sure you download it for the big game, the biggest game of them all. You need the Bet Parks app. You'll love it. Sportsbook, casino, run your phone, all the stuff that Brad and I talk about. You can grab, not just for the big game, but, of course, for NBA, NHL, you name it. The big brain knows. He's the Parks betting analyst, the Bet Parks betting analyst. So check it out. Download it. You got to be in PA or New Jersey. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLERS. New customers get up to $750 in sportsbook credit if your first bet's not a winner. So good stuff on the Bet Parks app. They always have odds boost and all kinds of fun stuff. So check it out. Big Brain, before we get into some more Super Bowl talk, any NBA that you like tonight? There is an NBA tonight, Slate.
Yeah, there is a few things, Anthony, in the NBA I did like. I'll start off with a couple props I like, and I'll give you two games. LaMelo Ball, 3.5 threes, Anthony. The over, 21-8 his last 29 games. I think that's an extremely fine bet. Same game, Terry Rozier. Listen to this one, Anthony. His last 50 games. Okay, is this it? You talk about a large sample size. 50 games, over 3.5 assists, 39-11. 78%
wow.
better. He's averaging over 5. By the way, he's going over 4.5 assists at about a 60% clip. How's that only 3.5? I'm not asking questions. I'm just putting in the bet. And I'm going to do another one. Bam Adebayo, over 2.5 assists, Anthony. 28-16 his last 44 games. 64% winning bet. Was able to take juice on that. I thought that was a worthwhile bet. And I'll give you two others, Anthony. I know I've talked this many times before. I think the Knicks, I like them in the role of an underdog. Tonight they're a home underdog against the Miami Heat. Now, they just lost a tough overtime game to the Lakers the other night. And they lost to Brooklyn. Before that, they beaten Cleveland and Boston in back-to-back games. At home against Miami tonight, I say they win this game outright. I like them with the money line as a slight underdog. I think they're going to win the game. And, Anthony, look, you know, Giannis is playing tonight, and games are basically around a pick. I think they're a one-point favorite. This Clipper team, to me, is just, they're okay. I think they're, again, an overrated kind of team, 29-25. I just think the Bucks are better. They're at home. They basically just have to win the game. I thought that line should have been closer to, you know, at least a couple points higher. I like Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was surprised that that line's so short.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And I like, I like the Clippers. Like, I'm not, you know, the Clippers, you know, listen, like the other night, they were down to Chicago by like 25 in the first half.
Yeah, they came back.
And they storm back. Like, I mean, they're a good squad. When you got Paul George and Kawhi healthy and Zubac, and I like that squad. But I agree with you. I think I like Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a better team. I mean, I just think the East is so much better than the West.
I couldn't agree with you. I could not agree with you more.
I like the Pelicans.
So I thought those were really, like, worthwhile. I thought those were worthwhile bets. What I thought were just, you know, in my opinion, again, I think the props were really strong, and I those were my favorite in terms of the NBA night, my favorite bets. And then in college, I like the under in the Michigan game against Northwestern. The over-under is about 138.5. What I like about this game, Anthony, when I'm looking for these unders, right, what's the thing I'm looking for most? I don't like teams that shoot the three well, but I don't have to worry about it in this game. Both these teams do not shoot the three well. Michigan's been, I think, right up there as the most disappointing team in all of college basketball. I thought this over-under should have been about 4 points lower than when it came in. I like under in Michigan. Again, I think this is a matchup where teams are going to have to score via the two, and it's hard to go over when you're not getting threes in college basketball.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's actually pretty good. I like that a lot. Hey, what are you feeling as far as, you know, the Sixers are concerned going forward?
Well, look, Anthony, I got to tell you something. This was a good example. Like, I did it, you know, on the Park site. They were getting 8-1, and Embiid was to an MVP during that Denver game. And then after the game, he went down to like 3-1. And that's a good example. When you're following that, watching that, you know, that was a great chance to capitalize on something. Because when he was going against the league leader in Jokic, and then he outplays him pretty badly, you know, I'm glad to see that he got that kind of respect. Look, this team, Anthony, this is, I think he would agree with me, I think this is the best team they've had since the Jimmy Butler team that lost to the Kawhi Leonard Raptors. Well, I think that was how many years ago? Was that like 4 or 5 years ago or whatever?
Yes. Yes.
I think this is right there with that team. I don't know if it's as good as that team was, but I think it's right there with it. I think it's the best team they've had since then. Harden, to me, realistically speaking, Anthony, and I mean realistically speaking, I think he's played about as well as you could have hoped for. Anyone who thought you were going to get the old, quote-unquote, James Harden, I just don't think that was ever on the table. But I think he's played well.
I do, too.
I think he's been a lot better than he was last year.
Yeah.
Now, the question to me, Anthony, and I'm curious what you think, do you like the experiment of using Maxey off the bench? Do you dislike it, or you're not sure?
Well, I would think you would remember how many times I probably bent your ear over that. Who was the one who kept telling, saying it, screaming it, put him on the bench? You remember that?
Well, yes, that's it. Now it is, yes. Now
I mean, I love, because here's what it does. It allows Doc to cover the entire 48 minutes.
Which is huge.
So I love it. I mean, he's in the game all the whole time. He plays a just as important role. It just allows them, the way they fit, to cover 48 minutes. And that's what you're looking to do. You're looking to cover 48 minutes with scores. And with the way you can do it when with Maxey, it just works. I think it works. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it makes a lot of sense. I hear you on that. Because you're right, staggering minutes, especially in the postseason, you're never going to want to have a situation where hopefully you want to have always at least, hopefully, if you could have two scorers on the court at all times. And, you know, like to me, again, in a playoff situation, if you have to stagger, if you have Maxey on the court coming in, it's funny. It's interesting. This just came into the text to me, so I'm letting you know this, Anthony. Take back what I said about the Bucks. I'm getting a note from someone I work with that Giannis may be out tonight, has not been announced.
So
I would actually tell you, not only do I not like
Milwaukee,
I like the Clippers now. You know,
yeah.
So I would do a whole switcheroo on that, and I don't think that's maybe that's why the line was a little bit short, but now I think he's going to be announced out. And I think we'll see the Clippers become the favorite.
Yeah, well, then, you know, no Giannis, forget about it. They can't match up.
Exactly.
Do you like?
Sixers, Anthony, I like the Sixers very, very much. I think that they are, right there is the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think that, again, if they stay healthy, you know, look, we've seen Boston is not bulletproof. I mean, Boston has shown weaknesses. They've shown that they may not be as strong as we thought they were. And I think this team has a real chance if they stay healthy. But again, they can't have another year where they bow out in the second round. They just can't.
No.
To me, you know, this is a referendum on everyone, on Doc, Embiid, on Harden, on everyone, as I said. But I think that they're up for the challenge, and I think that Milwaukee, to me, has just seemed like all year has just been battling the injuries, and I just don't think Chris Middleton's necessarily going to be healthy. And Chris Middleton, when he was right, Anthony, was a top 30 NBA player. And if they don't have that, you know, I think that's really going to hurt them. And look, we'll see. You know, Boston obviously started off like a house on fire, and they're obviously going to be a tough team for sure with Brown and Tatum. But I think this Philadelphia team, Anthony, really does have a chance. I really do. But there's a lot of competition. Let's just be honest. These is tough, and it's just the way that it's going to be. There's no free lunch, okay? It's going to be hard. But I think from a talent perspective, the question is, what can they add in the – to me, you know, is there anything they can add that Daryl can add you know, advance this team and help them even more with like an extra piece. I don't know if there's anything out there this year he's going to be able to do, but I think he's
as good as he can do. I think you can use some, you know, some rebounding help, right? Maybe a wing, some help on the glass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Let me ask you a question, Anthony. What have your thoughts been on PJ Tucker?
I love the move that Doc made the other day, put Tucker on Jokic.
Yeah, he played well against Jokic, but it's the one thing.
He gives you some grit with the, you don't have.
He gives you grit, but it's interesting. Last year, and every year actually, it's funny. He, as bad as he's been offensively, was always able to hit that corner three. And this year, I watched him in practice. He makes every one of them, but I guess when the game starts, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or whatnot. I still, and I maybe I'm just the only one who thinks it, and I probably living in the Stone Age, but when I watch Stiebel, I still think he should get more of a run than he has, but maybe I'm just, he's so bad offensively, maybe I'm just not factoring that enough in.
Yeah, I don't know about that, buddy. I hear
he's
you.
Offensively, he's such a liability in the offensive side.
Yeah, listen, the other night against Orlando, like he scored a little bit. You know, it was nice to see. You know, I love the kid. I wish I could use him, but
he's such a nice guy. Yeah, he seems like such a nice, like, nice human being. But let me ask you a question. How much better? Let me ask you this. Is PJ Tucker that much better offensively than Matisse Feibel?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Okay.
I mean, listen, I know, you know, what the math says, right? You show your work, and you're right. But if you had one guy to make a shot, make a corner three your life,
it's not even close. No, it's not. I agree with that. No, you're being fair. He's just one of these guys, Anthony. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't think it's going to be in Philadelphia. I think he's going to move on, but I think he's one of those guys that if we see him have a really nice, successful NBA career in a different city, it wouldn't surprise me. And I'm always going to kind of be like, you know, but I know he tries hard.
Yeah, I love the kid. I mean, the problem is, like, even around the basket, like, if you look the way the ball comes off his hands, it's always like a knuckleball. Like, he's got to be able to, you got to flush it. He's got to be more aggressive around the rim, and you got to flush the basketball. He's one of these kids, unfortunately, that's not blessed with a lot of touch.
Yeah, I know we talked about it on last week's show, and they just split with the Sixers. I really believe going forward, you know, we'll follow them every single night, the Orlando Magic or Team Anthony.
They're playing well. They're good.
I'm going to make a statement here. Next year, I think they're going to win their division, and they will be my sleeper pick to potentially. I'm not saying they're going to do anything crazy good, but their over under is going to be pretty low again. They're probably going to get another relatively top pick.
That Blanchero is a great player.
He's unbelievable. He's
so big.
He's so polished too. When I watched him in the ACC tournament, I'm like, this guy's he's polished. Like he's a guy that can actually do a lot of things.
But well, he's a Euro League guy. I mean, you know, those Euros, they come over. You know, one of the things is that when you're the under whatever it is, the under 18,
sure.
Like,
sure.
That's great basketball. Like, that's the best in the country that they're playing.
Yeah, no, and if they've actually gotten like a lot of nice work out of, you know, Franz Wagner's been great, but Mo Wagner, who was back when Villanova.
He's a tough ball player.
Well for them. Yeah, and I got to tell you, and then they finally got Jonathan Isaac back, who only could play 10 minutes a night, but God, he's looked good in those 10 minutes a night. Give Fultz credit, right? He's never what we thought he was going to be. That is what it is. But for a guy that was considered to be a complete zero, never going to be anything, he's at least turned himself, let's give him credit, at least turned himself into a serviceable NBA player when the world kind of wrote him off. And at least he overcame what he had overcome. And at least, look, he starts for a decent team, and he's at least, again, he's never going to be what he was supposed to be, the number one pick in the draft, but I don't think you can now call him like one of the necessarily the worst busts in NBA history. He's not like Anthony Bennett. He's at least now maybe can carve out, you know, any 10-year NBA career where he's at least a serviceable starter.
Or how about that Michael Olowokandi?
Yeah, that's example. Michael, that's a great one from Buck Pacific. Man. Back in the day, but yeah, and who was kind of, was there another one that's almost in that, yeah, Olowokandi and Michael and Anthony Bennett, probably.
Oh, Greg Oden, remember that one.
Oh, Greg Oden, that's another, you know, you're on a roll, but it's interesting, I do think that, it's interesting, you look from a Sixers point of view, Anthony, think about this, that pick, which was just obviously one of the worst picks in franchise history, but it turned out to be Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
Who would turn out to be, if he went number one, no one would have said anything.
Yeah. No, you're right on. So, do you, I'm curious, what do you do with this Super Bowl? Are you already put your stuff in? Are you waiting?
I put in a couple things so far. I'll tell you some things I put in. Patrick Mahomes, 1.5 touchdowns is -210. Now, again, his last 27 games. He's 22-5 to this over. Okay, so that translates to about a -425 favorite or so. I think this, in a game like this, what I love about this is, Anthony, when they get inside the 3-yard line, every team in the NFL basically tries to run it in, almost, except one guy, and that's the guy who's Andy Reid. He still will pass, even from the 1-yard line, he will pass, he'll do some kind of shovel pass to Kelce, whatever it is. He just does not want to run the ball. He trusts Mahomes more than he trusts that offensive line, I guess, or whatever it is. Again, 22-5 his last 27. I just feel very good. As good as the Eagles' defense has been, as great as they've been, and I know laying 2-1 may scare some people off, I will be stunned, shocked, surprised, whatever adjective you want to use in the dictionary, if Patrick Mahomes does not get his 2 touchdowns. I also like Kelce over 76.5 yards, I bet, as well, Anthony. Look, this team doesn't, I don't think, has a ton, and I think that they're going to, that's his line with his blanket, his security blanket. Kelce's always the guy. Kelce's gone over this 14 of his last 22 games. Biggest game of the year, I absolutely think will be an incredible focal point. And from the Eagles' point of view, Anthony, I took over 45.5 for Dallas Goedert. He's gone over this, he's averaging, Anthony, 62 yards a game. 62 yards a game. In his last, let me look this up, Andy.
Yeah, I love that play because he's going to be singled up and he's going to have a linebacker, for my guess, on him. And I love that play. I'm telling you, that's a great play because Spags is going to need his a lot more guys. Like he don't have the luxury to stop Goddard. He's going to give you Goddard.
Right, he can't stop everyone, and he's 14-7 his last 21 games, Anthony. 14-7, averaging 62 yards a game. So let's think about this. They're making the over under 45.5. The guy is averaging, I think what happened was, he's a guy that, since Zach Ertz left, has become, in my opinion, he doesn't get the notoriety that like a George Kittle will get or something like that. But I think he's really, and look, no one's Kelce, right? But I think he's been right there as a top 3 to 4 tight end that people just, he kind of slid under the radar a little bit. And I think we're seeing it in the betting market. And it's almost like they still think he was a backup to Ertz. I don't know what it is. He's, to me, his production has not matched what the props are saying. Again, he's going over this 2 out of 3 times. It's a game I personally think Philadelphia still is going to have to pass the ball. Again, last week's game was a game where they were able to run a lot more than anyone was expecting because they got off to a 30-point lead when San Francisco couldn't pass. They're not going to have that luxury in this game. And I think Goddard, with the lowest number, again, to me, you can argue any of those three guys between him, Smith, and A.J. Brown can have the best game. Give me the guy who's only 45.5.
Dude, I think that's a great bet. I love Goddard's over all day long, all day long. Great stuff, my brother. So we will we'll reconvene. We got lots to do, man. All the props. I want to go over the props with you. So we'll do a whole big prop show and everything else. Does that sound good?
I love it. I can't wait.
You're the best, buddy. Good luck tonight.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Here he is, the great Brad Feinberg. Wonderful guy on the Comcast Business Hotline.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's going to do it for Cuz's Corner, as we hope you get ready and do your thing with the Bet Parks app. Download it right to your phone. You got to have it for the Super Bowl. You got to do it. It's fantastic. And now, let us go and talk to one of my favorite people, along with the big brain. He is the big heart. That's right, Devon Givens. Devon!
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, big heart?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good. Feeling good. I can't wait till next week because I'll be having a conversation with you and Case while you guys are on the road, and it's going to be pretty cool while you guys check in. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. That's all. It's going to be wild, my brother. It's going to be wild.
Oh, it's going to be a good time.
You got that right. That's going to be fun.
No question about it. Yeah. Oh, man, this is exciting. It's a little, you know, it's a little tough because we have to wait this full week, and we've been, of course, we're all able to come up with conversational pieces, but man, to wait instead of it being this Sunday, we have to wait until next Sunday. That's the tough part.
I know, man. I know. I'm like Phil the same way. I can't wait for it, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It that's just where it is, man. That's just where it is. But it is exciting to hear you guys breaking out all the numbers. And even, you know, I thought about this because of when the matchup was put together, and I hadn't talked to you, but you know, your relationship that you had with Andy and Spagnuolo when they were here, still have it. And now, you know, I know how you feel about this team in general, the organization. This is going to be a fun one for you, too.
Yeah, D, like, you know, it's funny. Like, I'll share a little something. So, you know, I mean, I talk to those guys all the time. I love those guys.
Yes.
And you know, it's fun because, you know, I get to root for them. And, you know, watch because... I know them for so long, and they're wonderful people. My kids call Spags, you know, Uncle Spags.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, he's a very close friend of the family. But, you know, Spags sent me a text Sunday night, congratulate him, great job. You beat Burrow, man, that's awesome. You know, and then he was like, dude, I know. He goes, listen, that'll be it. I know you love me. You don't talk me up, all right? You have... your squad, and I got mine.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to you after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You feel like you're in the game. It's funny.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, awesome. It is. Yeah, it is, man. But the matchups and all, and I know we'll get into all of this more next week, but you're just breaking it down because we have so much time. We've seen a lot of Kansas City. We've seen all of the Eagles. This was what it was supposed to be at the end of the season. This is what it was supposed to be. The top two teams in each conference, and they were the two best, and this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, man, it is. It's going to be, I think it's going to be like an epic deal, too.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think it's going to be a great game. You know, I'm going to be the homer here because it's Super Bowl.
Sure.
I'm going to go, you know, Birds, you know, 31-28,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
30-27. I think it's got that kind of epic kind of thing.
It's not necessarily the way that, of course, it went in 52, but that was an epic Super Bowl. So you're saying along those types of lines.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
it's going to be beautiful.
I mean, how about you? What's your gut say?
Yeah, my gut says that the Eagles are the better team, and while both quarterbacks are banged up, it seemed that Patrick Mahomes is a little more serious in terms of being the high ankle sprain. We know that can cause you to miss time, longer time, than what Jalen dealt with. And with that, knowing how good the offense and the defense together, because we've talked about them being such a complete team and how they have won games this year, and we saw it. We've also seen a lot of Kansas City. Now, maybe not enough to talk about it in the way that someone else in Kansas City could, but we know that the Eagles are a complete team and they have multiple ways to win. And that the Eagles' defense, not stopping them totally, because they are who they are, led by Mahomes and Kelce and Reed and how they do it, but to slow them down enough where the Eagles can put up the points on their defense, with all due respect to Spags and the personnel that he has. So
yeah.
I think that they are the better team. And right now, yes, I do, like you, feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game with the Eagles coming out on top.
Man, I love it, brother. What are your plans?
So, next week, right now, I think I'm just doing a post-game show next week after they win. And so that'll be fun. I was hoping that I'd be able to go, you know, just because I haven't been to one. I wasn't there in Minnesota. I've never been to one, so it would have been pretty cool to go. But, yeah, I'm going to be here doing the post-game show. And I feel pretty good that we'll be talking about a victory.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, man.
Yeah.
I feel I want to give you a big hug.
Oh, man. Hug. And listen, yeah. I know we talked about it. So you said that the plans might have changed for this year, where the boys are older, your wife, where this time around, instead of going down and getting a, you know, a celebratory spot.
I was at the AKA.
So,
right, on Walmart.
Yeah,
street,
so now what are you doing? Are you staying home with the kids
now? I don't know what we're talking about. Yeah, my kids will be with me.
Okay.
So no matter where we go, what we do, the boys are ready, right? So they'll be with me.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you about tonight. Because, you know, I always like to throw this before I share with the people. Defensively with Jonathan Gannon, he may not be Jim Johnson and, you know, have that type of name that's going to carry weight for people here over these last 2 years. But the defense that he had this year, and the way that we can talk about this game against the Chiefs, is largely because of what he has done with this defense. How do you look at this defense and rate them all time, just defense, of where you put them with the rest of the squads. And I know about the Buddy Ryan part, and certainly with the Jim Johnson teams, especially 04 when they got to the Super Bowl.
So that's a great question.
Yes, so that's what we're going to start with tonight.
It's a great question. So, you know, Reddick would be a top three individual performer, right? Mm-hmm. Like top, maybe top two. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been ridiculous. I gotta go Gangrene One.
Mm.
All right. I mean, the year that they don't have a quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, give me a break. Like, they get to the playoffs. They have nobody. Like, nobody realizes, because people think Buddy Ryan, whatever. That year was Bud Carson, right? And that year, when they have no quarterback, that team, that defense was absurd. Like, they were vicious, and they'd score. Even the other year that Randall got hurt, like, they were unbelievably good.
Yeah.
So that defense is, to me, the best.
Okay. Yeah.
Then it comes back to this one.
'04 maybe.
Yeah, you know, like somehow, it sounds weird. '02, or actually '01, was better.
Yeah.
'01 had Troy Trott. '04 was great.
'04 did have Trott. He came back that year.
No, I know. But yeah, he took over the starting.
Yep.
Me and him did the show.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
And, it was the year when they got blown out against Pittsburgh. He took over back at middle line, back at Mike.
Yep.
But the 0-1 team had Trott. They had Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent, Dawkins.
Was Carlos Emmons in that linebacking group?
Yes, yep. Who could cover a tight end. He was a Sam.
Yep.
Who was ridiculous.
Yep.
The front was great. You know, AQ on the front. This front's better. This front's better. That secondary's better.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, look who you had, you know, in the secondary, right? You had Dawkins, Michael Lewis.
That was 04, Michael Lewis, yeah.
Who was the safety in 01?
01 was, it wasn't, it wasn't Blaine Bishop. That was it?
No, that was 02.
That was 02.
Because he was slow.
Right, that was the 1 year that we all know, yeah. Good question.
I'll figure it. We'll look it up. We just look it up.
And
but anyway, I mean, you get my point. I mean that defense was really good. But look, I mean, you know, this defense is unbelievable. And by the way, you can't. I mean, it's too old, but the Dick Vermeil defense was a great defense when they got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So, yeah, that's what we wanted to start off
with. I love it, man. I love that.
Yeah.
Where does Hassan? Hassan was just amazing, man. Where's he ranked? And you got to figure that out, too.
Yeah.
Do that, too.
And it's crazy because he came in.
Damon Moore.
Damon Moore.
He was the dude who...
Oh.
He
number 43.
He left the dog.
Yep. Yeah, number 43. Yeah. I really like
Trott, Mike Caldwell, who's now Doug's defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Ike was on that team too. Played a lot.
Yep.
Hugh Hollis, Corey Simon, Brandon Whiting.
Wow.
I mean, that was a great defense, man.
That was. You know? This one, Hassan Reddick, where is he? Whew. I guess if anything, you look at where is he with the other DNs, right? Where you speak about Hugh, and of course Reggie, so you leave
right
where he is. Javon Kearse for that one year where he was Freak.
I mean, listen, the Freak was awesome.
Yes,
but I got it. I go Hassan.
So do I.
I go Hassan.
So do
Freak.
I.
I go. I love Hugh to death, but I go Hassan over Hugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think he up to you know, he's number two behind Reggie. Is where I come from.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He's been terrorizing the playoffs, too.
Oh, my God. It was awesome. Fantastic.
Terrorizing the playoffs. Real fast before we let you go. Looks like Joel Embiid, of course, is in the All-Star game. And one more spot left. I don't think it's going to be James Harden. It's probably just going to be Joel. Yeah. Julius Randle, Bam Adebayo, DeMar DeRozan, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday for the second time, and Joel Embiid, and Shaq is opening the final one. And
not hard.
It's Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, well, he deserved it.
And he deserved it.
I got no beef with that.
Yeah.
I got the beef with the starting five because it's positionless.
Yes. And look, it has been that way for the last couple of years, and he has made it in five consecutive years in talking about Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
But this year, it was like, look, guys, all four of those guys should be starting, period.
Yeah.
Right? As somebody in that backcourt shouldn't be starting.
Right. Oh, man. Let's be real about that.
Exactly.
I had Doc on today.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
He was interesting. It was funny. He's a great sportsman. So we were talking about, he had a great comp for Sirianni. He said Sirianni is Pete Carroll. A young Pete Carroll.
Because of how emotional he shows his emotions on his sleeve.
Great football coach, young, smart, fiery. Right. I thought that was a good comp.
That's not bad.
You know?
That's not bad. All we need him to do is win his first Super Bowl like Pete Carroll did.
Yeah, there we go.
And then when they get back next year, don't throw the ball at the goal line. Get that second one, too.
That's right. I'm with you, baby. Listen, I'll be listening.
Hey, man, drive safe. Always. Thanks, man.
Thanks, my brother. There he is, the great Devon Givens coming up next. Thanks for everybody who hanging. We love you guys. We'll see you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.